the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Quite a few years ago, when I was working for a private engineering company, I was sent to Malta for a week, and that sounds great, I know, it sounds, a week's holiday in the sun. Well, to be honest, it wasn't great, and it was a week in the sun, but it wasn't a holiday. I was going out there to train some local engineers in water supply, leakage detection, and my knowledge of leakage and water supply was fairly limited. My experience is probably slightly less than my knowledge, and I was going out there to train these Maltese graduates. So I was slightly nervous, as you can imagine, and I spent a week either in the classroom talking to them or in the hotel room revising for the following day. Now, I faced two advantages there. One, I knew slightly more than they did, but only slightly. But the big advantage was, of course, that English was a second language to them. So if they started to sort of look like they understood more than me, I just spoke a bit faster, and hopefully they got left behind and didn't know what I was talking about. In a sense, I feel a bit like that tonight with angels, because my experience of angels is fairly limited. I haven't had a great number of experiences of meeting or listening or meeting angels, but I do think I have got three big advantages which make me more confident than my week in Malta. And the first one, of course, is the Bible. I've got something a bit more authoritative than I had when I went to Malta. I've got something I can trust absolutely. I know is the truth. And even if I haven't experienced everything that is in the Bible, at least I know it's true. The second thing, of course, is the Holy Spirit, which is great to have Nathan praying at the start, because the Holy Spirit can take the most ordinary, roundabout, even dull words and apply them to our hearts. And, of course, the third advantage I've got, I think, is you. If we want to hear from God, God is a God who wants to talk. And so if we open ourselves up and say, Lord, however mumbling, however roundabout the speaker may be, send your Holy Spirit. Talk to my heart. And I hope that's a prayer for each one of us tonight, that what I say won't just be my thoughts, won't just be things I've heard from others, but God would take the ordinary everyday words and apply them to our hearts, and because it's his Holy Spirit doing it, would change us, and we will be different people at the end than we were at the beginning. So, we've come to angels on earth, and I'm going to look at various things. I'm going to start by saying, Ed, thanks. What do angels look like? Now, we all know what angels look like. How many people have an angel on top of their Christmas tree at Christmas? No one? Just me? Oh, yeah, there are a few. Thank you. I thought it was just maybe me. Or are they fairies, people call them, don't they? They're angels in our household, anyway. And they have wings, and they're golden. And, well, in popular... Sorry, Ed. And again. In popular life, there seem to be two sorts of angels you can come across. Either they're sort of young, very young children, sort of very cute, very, very pretty, or, and again, Ed, next two, they're young ladies, and very clearly female. And they may have wings, but they're very, very, very attractive young women. And that seems to be the two sorts, which is interesting because the Bible doesn't tell us very much what angels look like. Adrian Bailey led us through a bit last week about angels, and he talked about angels in heaven. And that's where most of our images come from. And angels in heaven, yeah, they have wings, but sometimes they have six wings, and sometimes they have the eyes over the wings. They're not sort of soft, feminine-type creatures. They're strange, mystical beings. And that's what we face when we see angels. And when we come down to angels on earth, we have even less information. Let me give you a couple of examples. Oops, not slip over that one. And again, Ed, there's two passages here I've got on the screen, both from the ministry of Jesus, one at the start of his ministry, one at the end, where angels are mentioned. In the first, it's right at the end, just after the resurrection, it says, "There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And like back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at his birth, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And you can see very clearly in there that something about angels, there's something majestic, something of the glory of God, something which drives people to their knees in fear and in trembling. So angels are powerful, overwhelming, and they bring something of the glory of God to their situation. But that's not only the situation they come to. There's a very interesting verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says this: "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Isn't that interesting? Those can't be the same sort of angels. If these angels, which had been stood on the tomb or come to the shepherds, had turned up, you wouldn't entertain them as strangers unaware. You would know they were angels, wouldn't you? So angels, obviously, there's not one appearance. And that's not surprising. They're spirit beings. They probably spend most of their time invisible. We can't even see them. And when they may appear as these glorious, shining beings, or they may appear as an ordinary human being. And if you're sitting next to someone tonight and you don't know them, you never know. They may be an angel. So, if that's what angels look like, even Dave Pegg with his haircut could be an angel, but I don't know. If that's what angels look like, I think of more interest is maybe what angels do. And again, and there's various things that angels do. We're going to look at, thanks Dave.
Is there another one there?
No. Yeah. Yes, look at that. Look at what angels do. And it's three things we want to look at tonight. We've only got time. There's a great range of things that angels do. One, look at their role as messengers. One, the role as they protect. And one role as they help us. Now, those all mix in. There's not one thing they do. And those three sort of all mix together. So they may bring a message which helps us. Or they may come to help us by protecting us. So don't try and get tied down to the particular roles. That they all mix together. And you'll find that as I take us through, that some of the examples I give cover all three in one. So it's an idea to try and help us think through some of the things that angels do. And the first obvious one that angels do is that they bring messengers. In both the Greek and the Hebrew, for angel, the original language that angel is translated from means messenger. That's where angel comes from. It means messenger. And it could mean perfectly ordinary human messenger. So in a sense, you have to look at the context slightly, but most times it means a spiritual being who comes with a message from God. And there's various examples of these. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he's in the temple, an angel came to him and said, "You will have a son." Quite a surprise to an old man, but that was the message from the angel. Philip, he was told, "Go out to the road to Gaza." And he went out to the road to Gaza and met the Ethiopian and led him to Christ. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, an angel came to him and said, "Go to Joppa, find Simon living in the tanner's house, bring him to you." And that's how Cornelius and his household became Christians. And of course, Paul, traveling across the Mediterranean, his boat battered by a storm, driven forward by that storm, an angel came to him and said, "Paul, you will go to Rome. You will stand trial before Caesar, and these people with you will be saved." And in all three cases, a message came to them. Now, that's very interesting to compare to modern ideas of what angel messages are like. This is the website of Doreen Virtue. It was a real education preparing for this sermon. I had no idea what was out there on the internet on angels. And if you do ever go and search, you will find the wildest, wackiest, craziest ideas out there. And angels seem to be having a sort of a renaissance. They're becoming more and more popular. They will do anything and everything you want them to do. And Doreen Virtue is one of these people. She has got an angel therapy. The thing I like about the idea of angel therapy is it's a registered trademark. I think that's great. But she's there. Angels will come and heal you if you speak to her or to them, and presumably if you pay your money as well. And she describes angel encounters like this. If you have an encounter with an angel speaks to you, you'll get this warm, fuzzy feeling inside you. It will feel right, it will feel good. Now compare that to those four examples of Zechariah and Philip and Paul and Cornelius. And each one of those, they had a message which drove them on to the purposes of God. Was in a sense, in many cases, was terrifying to them, that they were afraid. The message drove them forward and said, this is the purpose of God in your life. This is where I am taking you. The focus isn't on my desires, my will, what I want, my fears, my worries. No, the focus is on God. And I think that's the key thing for us as we understand with angels bringing messages to us, is that where are they leading us? Are they focusing on us, on me, or are they focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his Father, on our Lord? I think this interest in angels does show that there's a hunger out there in the world, does show that people maybe are tired of the materialism of the world they see around them and are seeking something more. And maybe that gives us an opportunity, that as people are seeking and looking in the wrong place, but they're still seeking something more than this world has to offer, maybe we can share with them not just about angels, but about the creator of angels, the one who made the angels and the one who made each one of us. And maybe it teaches us that we need to really understand our Bibles as well, to be able to share with people who've got a little bit of knowledge, they've picked up some information. They know about angels, they know about an angel hierarchy, they know about angel names, they maybe even know something about the Bible, but they don't truly know the history of angels and what angels are like. And maybe we can share with them what we know, but only if we know it. We have to know our Bibles to be able to share it with them. And maybe they will see something of the glory of God. And rather just having these rather bland, ordinary, fuzzy messages from angels, they can have an encounter by hearing from the living God. That's not just what all the angels do. They bring messages, but they also protect. Two probably quite well-known passages in the Old Testament. One is Daniel in the lion's den. He was thrown to the lions, left there overnight, and when he came out in the morning, completely unscathed, he said, an angel of God protected me and shut the mouth of the lions. And the one from Elisha, I think it is very good. I'll read a bit more of that. This is a situation where Elisha and his servant, Elisha's been telling the Jewish military about what the king of Aram is up to and saying, watch out, his troops are coming, set your ambush here, he's going over there. And he says to king of Aram, gets a bit fed up with this and says, who's letting on to all these secrets? And they say, the prophet Elisha. He's telling you what even you say in your bedroom, he knows. So the king of Aram sends his army to capture Elisha. And this huge army surrounds the town where Elisha is. And that's where we pick up the story. Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked. And I saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Totally invisible to the servant, he saw the human army and was worried. And when his eyes were opened, around him on the hills were these chariots of fire, these horses of fire, these angelic beings. an army of angels. And our Western world, it is so easy to forget. We see what is in front of us, and we call that real. And we forget there's a reality beyond that. There's a whole world and realm beyond what we can see with our eyes. And it is only when God opens our eyes that we can see that world. But because we can't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It is out there. And we've got to live in the reality of that. That being a Christian isn't some sort of intellectual exercise, isn't some sort of philosophy. We are moving in a spiritual realm. We are moving in a spiritual world, a world beyond what we can see with our eyes. And in that world, angels are there, and they are protecting us. Now, a question which comes up often is, do we have guardian angels? Guardian angels, exceptionally popular, books, television, films. It's a great concept. We, each one, each individual person, has an angel to look after them. It's even got to the stage where I found out that apparently pets have guardian angels as well. So if you've got a poorly dog or something, hopefully he'll have a guardian angel to look after him. Well, I'm not sure whether we do have guardian angels. There's a couple of verses here which might suggest we do. Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And Matthew 18. See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Now, that does suggest it. And when, you may recall, when Peter was in prison and was miraculously released from prison, he went back to the house, knocked on the door, and the servant girl opened the hatch, saw it was Peter, and so excited, she left him out there, didn't open the door, and ran back to tell the others. And they didn't believe her. They said, oh, you must have seen Peter's angel. And again, there's a hint there. Maybe there are guardian angels. Now, I don't know whether there are or there are not. I do get slightly worried that some people do take it to extremes. This is Carlos Santana, who, if you're old enough, you'll remember him as a famous rock musician. He believes he's got a guardian angel. His name is Metatron. He's an angel who's been in regular contact with him since 1994. Carlos will sit here facing the wall, the candles lit. There's a yellow legal pad at one side, ready for the communications that will come. It's kind of like a fax machine, he says. Now, it goes on and on like this. This guardian angel looking after Carlos Santana. I don't know why he needs a guardian angel to look after him. He's a very talented and probably a very rich person. Why does anyone need a guardian angel? I wonder why we even bother to be concerned about it. Because if you're a Christian, you have direct access to the throne room of God. In faith in Jesus Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Why have a guardian angel in the way? Why do we want to place something between us and the Lord? And maybe it's because angels might seem more human, more real, maybe. They look sort of human. Maybe it's because angels seem a bit safer than a God who demands something of our lives. John Ortberg, certainly that's his view anyway. Sometimes I think people can be fascinated by angels and talk about them because angels are less threatening than God. The idea of a God who is holy and hold people accountable can be a little scary. The strange thing I find about trying to look to angels as something less scary than God is that, just picking up the descriptions we had at the beginning, angels are scary themselves. What's the most common thing an angel says when it first meets someone? Do not be afraid. Doesn't that suggest that angels are pretty scary? That the first thing you do when you see an angel is you fall on your knees, you're overwhelmed by them? That doesn't make them soft and cuddly. But I think there's something far more serious about that, and that is putting something between us and God. There is no one, nothing that should stand between us and our Lord. As Paul said to Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. We should have no one between us and God. I don't care whether it's angels or whether it's your own personal routine of how you get yourself in that religious feeling, or it's a church leader, or it's a minister, whoever it is. We mustn't place anyone between us and the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ died to break down the barrier between us and God. And we must not put anything back in the way. So, angels bring messages, angels protect, and angels bring us help in times of difficulty. There's that well-known verse in Hebrews, which Adrian Bailey touched on last week. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those to serve those who will inherit salvation? And we see various people in Scripture who are helped. Elijah had just had this power encounter with the prophets of Baal. He had seen the Lord answer in fire. He had seen God miraculously prove who he was. And then he ran. And he collapsed. Physically, spiritually, exhausted. And an angel came to him, brought food and sustenance and refreshment. Jesus, after his temptation, angels came and ministered to him. Peter, when he had escaped from prison, an angel came to him in prison and helped him escape from prison. And it's interesting, in each of those examples, the angels come when somebody is in the midst of serving God and is either in trouble or in difficulty or needs some help, even just mundane, like a bit of rest and a bit of food. But it's all geared around somebody needing help because they're serving God. One of the places I found on the website was an article in the Daily Mail. I don't usually go to the Daily Mail for my sermons, but this was quite interesting. It says, are angels real? With more and more people putting their faith in them, Liz Jones puts the claims to the test. And the reason she puts the claim to the test, and this is where I got the bit about guardian angels for pets, she says, she's a bit of a skeptic, but then my 17-year-old cat Snoopy became ill a few months ago. He is diagnosed with kidney and liver failure and prescribed numerous drugs by the vet, which didn't work. So she's pointed towards an angel healer by some of her friends, and she talked to someone in Somerset and various others. And she goes to them, and she freely admits that the reason she went to them is because she was desperate because of her cat. And she says this man prayed for her over the phone, and her cat was a lot better afterwards. Now, I don't know whether that was connected or whether that was just coincidence, but it doesn't quite stack up in the way we expect from what God has said in his word. God's concern is for us. He does love us. He does care for us. But he wants us to grow and serve him. And I think angels come to us not to look after a cat. I know how. I'm not a pet lover, so I'm struggling with this. I don't have. Well, we have a couple of guinea pigs which aren't even mine at home, and that's it. But I know how much people care for pets. So I don't want to denigrate people's worries and concerns. But it strikes me that whether it's a cat or whether it's a husband or a wife, maybe people when they're desperate will turn to angels. And they've got a God who they could turn to instead. And maybe when angels come, they're coming there to help us fulfill the purposes of God, not just to give us those warm, fuzzy feelings. I think it's maybe a bit like we're looking for someone to help us out. We turn to angels maybe as some sort of servants, and we say to them, look, I want a bit of help in my life. You know, I'm having trouble with a job or with my pet or whatever it is, and look to an angel for help. And we treat them as servants, not as God's servants. And that's the difference. They may come to serve us, but not to be our servants. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, we had a chimney fire in our house. It's an open fire with a chimney, and some jackdaws have been throwing sticks down there and bits of grass and stuff. Very dry. They're trying to make a nest in the chimney. Of course, when you light the fire, it burns up all the twigs and things that dropped down, and we had this roaring sound. So we thought, oh, crikey, something happened. Called the fire brigade. Thankfully, they hadn't put much down there. So by the time the fire brigade turned up, the fire was out. But imagine the fire was going full pelt, and the house was burning. And these firemen turn up, and I say to them, great to see you, lads. Look, the grass could do with a bit of a cut. Get on with that, would you? And when you'd finished that, I'll have a cup of tea, please. The firemen are there as to serve me, but not to serve me by being my servants, but to serve me to fulfill their purpose, which is my good, which is putting the fire out. I think the same for angels. They are our servants, but they are there, our servants, to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. And so to finish, I just want to call out a couple of warnings. I think that there's two dangers, two extremes we can go for. And I think this was summed up nicely by a theologian well over 100 years ago who said, when it comes to angels, there's two extremes we can go to. On one side, there's vulgar credulity. On the other side, there's presumptuous incredulity. In other words, one side, we believe everything and anything anyone says about angels. And we think, yes, anything anyone says, however unbiblical or crazy or cranky, we believe it. On the other side, which I think is a great danger for us in the West, is we believe none of it. And I am sure that angels work in our lives, and we don't even know it sometimes. And I'm sure that angels will intervene. But I think that the times that we can hear or see angels will be rare, will be the exceptions. May well go through your whole life and not be conscious until you reach glory that an angel has been working in your life. I'll finish with an illustration. This is an illustration or story from South America, which many of you will be familiar with, Jim Elliot and his four companions who were martyred in the jungles there, killed by Alco Indians. The son of one of the men who was killed, Steve Saint, still involved in mission work out there. And he went back about 50 years afterwards. And he tells his story of him and somebody he knew who started talking to those who were involved with killing his father. He met the wife of one of them and some of the surviving attackers. And he starts off by talking about the widow of one of the men who was killed. This is a lady called Olive Fleming Liefeld, who was married to one of the men killed in the jungle. And she came back into the jungle and was talking to the wife of one of the attackers at that time. At that time, this girl, it was called Dawa, she was a teenager. And talking about the incident, or what they called Palm Beach, as Dawa recognised Olive's interest in what had happened that memorable day, a day that shocked and transfixed much of the world, she began to volunteer information that she thought might be of interest. In the middle of her commentary, she pointed to a place above the jungle canopy, bordering the ridge, just south of Palm Beach. That is where we heard the Kowaldi, which means foreigners. That is where we heard the Kowaldi singing, she stated matter-of-factly. As Art Rachel translated, Olive stopped her. What does she mean she heard foreigners singing above the trees? Dara said, they were dressed in cloth like she saw a group of Kowaldi who sang in church when she visited the States. And later on, Steve, when he's talking to actually one of the attackers called Kimo, and this is about 50 years after the incident, suddenly Kimo turned towards the music which had been playing in the background and listened intently. And this is a tribe who have no instrumental music within their culture. He turned towards the music and listened intently. After a minute, he commented, just like I heard it. And Steve says, I didn't understand what he was referring to until I put together the obvious fact that he's referring to the music and remembered that I'd recently asked him about what he had heard at Palm Beach. Kimo resumed his sign language conversation. Suddenly he turned towards the music once again and very specifically affirmed, I've heard that before, long ago. This is what I heard just like when your father died. Almost simultaneously, Kimo said, I saw lights like stars, and this is what I heard. Then he added, when I heard that long ago, I didn't know what it was. I was afraid. Hearing it, I knew we had done a bad thing there. now no longer living, angry and hating. And Steve finishes his story by saying, I've imagined all these years that this must have been the pain of Dad's last conscious minutes of life. But now I believe that wasn't the case. If Darwa and Chemo heard an angelic choir from the world beyond, I have no doubt that Jim and Ed and Pete, Roger and Dad, were made even more aware of their presence. They didn't die alone. I do believe now that God sent a reception committee to sing for them and to escort them into his presence.